God is so good, and he is faithful indeed. I love seeing how God is at work in this church family, and especially in our children. And boys and girls, thank you for leading us to worship today. It is a great day. There's a story of a little boy who loved the game of baseball. And one day, he decided to go in his afternoon to practice. And so he had his bat, and he had his ball, and he looked around the yard and imagined this huge stadium full of fans. And so he got his bat ready, and he got his ball ready, and he said, "I am the world's greatest hitter." And he threw the ball up, and he took a mighty swing and missed. Strike one. So the little boy picked up the ball, kind of shook his arms out a little bit, but he got the bat ready, he got the ball ready, put his shoulders back, and said, "I am the world's greatest hitter." And he threw the ball up, and with both hands he took a mighty swing and missed again. Strike two. So the little boy picked up the ball, he got his bat again. He looked out, imagining all of those fans, took a deep breath. And he assumed the position, got his bat ready, got the ball ready, and he threw it up in the air right after he said, "I am the world's greatest hitter." He threw it up in the air and took a mighty swing and missed again. Strike three. So the little boy picked up the ball, and he picked up the bat, and he looked at the bat, he looked at the ball, he looked at the crowd, he paused, he looked at it again, and then he got the bat ready, and he said, "I am the world's greatest pitcher." No one likes to get strikes, because three strikes and what? You're out. That's right. I wonder if Simon Peter had ever played any form of baseball. You know, he kept replaying those words of Jesus in his mind. "I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Peter remembered being shocked and appalled that Jesus thought he would possibly deny him. After all, Peter didn't do things halfway. When he jumped in to follow Jesus, he jumped with both feet. He loved Jesus. Surely, he didn't even have it in himself to deny him. "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." Strike one. Peter was warming himself at the fire when he heard the question again. "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it, saying, "I am not." Strike two. "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Strike three. Three times, three strikes. Was Peter out? Well, it didn't help that every morning Peter had to wake up to that awful sound of a rooster crowing, because it was such a painful reminder that he had denied the very one he loved the most. That weekend after Jesus died on the cross must have felt like an eternity to Peter. He had been so confident and even cocky before, saying something like, "Others might betray you, Lord, but I would never do so." And then he had. Three times. How was he supposed to face the other disciples? How is he supposed to face his own brother, Andrew? And how on earth do you construct an apology for Jesus in a situation like this? Peter's heart was troubled. He was embarrassed. He was ashamed. He was angry at himself. And he didn't really know what to do or say. It had just been days. Mary Magdalene had come running to them and said, "He's alive! He's alive!" And Jesus said to tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter. Peter must have wondered, why did he have to add my name? Was he pointing out that I denied him? Or is he giving me hope that maybe there's some grace and mercy? Well, Peter had to see things for himself, so he sprinted off to the tomb, and it was true. Jesus was not there. But now he was supposed to wait. Peter was not good at waiting. And sitting still certainly did not come easily to him. And so Peter did what made sense to him in life and in that moment. He went fishing. And some of the other disciples decided to go with him. And they spent the entire night trying to catch fish. And so as morning came, they were wet and tired and frustrated. And I'm pretty sure they were a little grumpy. But then they smelled something. Do you smell smoke? They caught a whiff of something, and there's a light on shore. I think there's a campfire. Yes, I smell smoke. There's a campfire, and there's somebody roasting breakfast over it. And it looks like that someone is saying something to us. And they heard this voice. "Friends, did you catch any fish?" They probably looked at each other and then said, "No." And then the voice came again. "Try casting your net on the other side." Really? Like that was going to make a difference. But okay. So they cast the net out again. But this time, there were fish everywhere. Big fish, little fish, medium fish, all kinds of fish were filling up this net. And amazingly, the net did not break under the weight and the strain. And it was about this time that the disciple John said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Well, Peter wasted no time and he jumped right out of the boat and swam the rest of the way to the shore because he couldn't get to Jesus quick enough. The others followed with the boat, pulling this net full of fish with them. And as soon as Jesus asked them, "Would you share your catch of fish with me?" Peter scrambled into the boat to pick out just the right fish. He couldn't move quickly enough. He would have done anything for Jesus in that moment. But he just didn't know what to say. He was always saying the wrong thing. How did one apologize for such grievous and disappointing actions? And that smoke just kept reminding him of another campfire, that campfire where he heard his own voice saying, "I don't know him." I think he probably was a little quiet for a change as they ate breakfast that day. Mia, Jack, and Carter are going to come share our scripture reading, and we're going to find out what happened next in the story. This way.
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter,
"Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?"
"Yes, Lord, you know that I love you,"
Jesus said.
"Feed my lambs,"
again Jesus said.
"Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?"
He answered,
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Take care of my sheep.
The third time he said to him,
Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time.
Do you love me?
He said,
Lord, you know of all things. You know that I love you.
Feed my sheep.
This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, thank you. So the first time, do you truly love me more than these? Who are the these? We can't see if Jesus pointed or if he extended a hand towards someone or something. Was he talking about the fish? Peter, do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than what's comfortable and familiar to you? Do you love me more than your identity as a fisherman? Or was he talking about the other disciples? Was he saying, Peter, do you still think that you are more committed to than all of these other followers? And that statement must have come back to Peter at that moment, saying to Jesus, others might betray you, but I would never do so. But Peter responded, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Now Peter remembered that Jesus had once told him that he was going to become a fisher of men, but now he was saying, become a shepherd? But then he thought about it, and he had walked with Jesus long enough to know that Jesus often called people sheep and referred to them as his lambs. He was offering Peter an invitation to continue following him. And not only continue following him, but he was saying, Peter, I'm not done with you. I have a job for you. I have a task for you. And a little bit of a shame chipped off. And a little bit of hope started to bubble up. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And again, Peter expressed with great emotion, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep. Jesus' words recorded in John 13 that we've already heard this morning that our church has been memorizing might have been coming back to his mind right about now. You remember on the night that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Show love to people. Humble yourself. Serve others. Feed my sheep. And then again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And with his heart absolutely breaking that Jesus had to ask a third time, Peter declared it again, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Three times Peter denied knowing Jesus. But instead of three strikes and he was out, Jesus forgave him. He extended grace and mercy and love. And sometimes we might feel a little bit like Peter, wondering if we have one too many strikes. We approach our Savior a bit red-faced, full of regret, and not completely knowing what to say. And Jesus looks at us and asks us too, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And just like he did for Simon Peter, he calls us tenderly by name. He shows us his never-ending love. He forgives us and cleanses us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Friends, he died on that cross for you and for me. But the story did not end there. We serve a risen Savior who is inviting us to follow him with all we are, with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength, to follow him with our words and our actions. He sees us, and he loves us. He forgives us. He cleanses us. He welcomes us. And he is inviting us to see what love can do. How will you answer today? Pray with me. Dear Lord, you truly are a good God. Thank you for not only forgiving Peter, but for forgiving us when we make mistakes. God, your unending love is more than we can even completely understand. But help us to come to you knowing that you have your arms open wide. Help us to follow you with all we are. In Jesus' name, amen.